Good morning. How's everybody doing today? It's really, really good to look out and see your smiling, friendly faces. The weather is perfect for corn dogs in the fair. It's like God knew the corn dogs were coming, and He changed the weather just for us. And it is all—it's all that and so much more. When we're able to come into this house, and we're able to worship a God who lives inside of us, who chose us as His people, who loves us so much that He gave His Son, that we could come in here and raise our hands, that we could come in here and shed our tears, we could come in here and lay it all down. What a beautiful day it is that we can be here together with a family that loves us. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's so good to see everybody here. I want you guys to know that it's not a coincidence that you're here today. That the teaching that goes on here and the teaching that will happen today and the words that come out of these singers' mouths were meant for you this morning. To touch your heart, to change your life, that you can go out from here and change the world. Because He has predestined us to be changers of the world. And that's what we're here to do today, to learn and to grow. I saw someone post on Facebook yesterday, it's so good to learn from somebody who teaches something that they love. And this morning we're going to hear a man teach something that he loves. And it's life-changing. So today, raise your hands. Smile on your face. Happy. It's going to be awesome. God bless you.
Let's stand and worship.
To the cross.
Morning, Lord. We thank you so much for your grace, God. We thank you that you're there in the good times, God. We're also glad you're there in the bad times, Father. Your grace is always there for us, no matter what, and we love you so much for that. And this morning, we just give you praise, Father.
In the secret of your presence. crucified to set me free. Now I live to bring you praise. Thank you. Thank you. for being our light in moments of darkness when those shadows follow us, God. We thank you for the grace that abounds. We thank you that it is everlasting, God. We thank you that you bring joy to our life, which brings us hope, God. We thank you that each and every day we can walk in your footsteps, that we know that you're there, that you're always there to provide our strength and our weaknesses, Lord, to provide us peace in our chaos, God, that you are everlasting, that you never stop with your grace and your love. We thank you that it abounds in our hearts to flow over into others, God. Thank you for being our light to be others' lights in this world, Lord. We praise you and we thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord. How many would rather be here than be in the new edition of Spalding County Jail this morning? Let me see. Yeah. Amen. And they're having spaghetti today, too. That's a rumor. Amen. Well, it's good to be here. Amen. I love to see you laugh. Amen. Pastor Buren, as everybody knows, is suffering for Jesus down there on Panama City Beach this week. And yeah, right. Only way Buren would suffer down in Panama City if he got down there and realized they just had a black and white TV. That would be the only way he would suffer. Amen. Wow. Them lights. I thought if it come down, the lights wouldn't be there, but they're there. Well, the Lord is good. Amen. Amen. It's so good being here and with you this week. This is the first time in a little over a week I've had on shirt and pants and everything else. We just got in from Florida ourselves. We down at Fort Walton down there, and it rained several days while we were down there. But we took advantage. The Bible said redeem the time, so we took advantage of it, and I got a lot of sleep in. I really needed and did some good reading. Well, amen. Okay, the lights are still there. Okay, I'm... Can I move it that way? Okay, Ron, you okay. Brother Ron, Now, here's a person that has been here in these lights. That didn't help much, did it? Okay. Okay, why don't we have everybody turn your chair around, face that way, and let me speak about this. There is a solution to this. Amen. It is an honor to be here with you this morning. I did hear from Pastor Buren before I left, and we're starting back the School of Positive Thinking here back in February. And I'm looking forward to that. We finished up Eaton since I was here with the School of Positive Thinking. It went 6 months. And I guess it did good. The pastor left yesterday to go on a cruise for a week. So I guess it did him real good. Amen. And then we had the school, excellent school in Conyers. And it was a tremendous school. Matter of fact, I was telling Pastor Buren the results we got from Conyers were the same type of results we got here. And we were very glad and thankful for that. I want to talk to you this morning on the body. Pastor Buren started this message on, I think the first message was, how you see yourself, how you see God, how you see yourself, how you see each other. What I want to take on this morning and take off on is, how do you see yourself? Really, how do you see yourself? Because how you see yourself is really what you are. Really, if you want to really know what you are, is how you see yourself. If you see yourself can't get a break, then that's what you are. You're someone that can't get a break. If you see yourself as someone that everybody out to do wrong, then you're somebody that everybody's looking forward to doing you wrong. It's all how you see yourself. How you see yourself will manifest in the very nature for what you see yourself as. Now, if you write anything down, write that down. How you see yourself will manifest in nature what you really see yourself as. Because we keep forgetting that we're Elohims. We're creators. And everything that you create, and you create every minute of every day, you're creating something. You're even creating your blessings or you're creating your messes. But you, as you see yourself, that is what will manifest as you are. That's what you will manifest. This is what you are. Now, I believe you can go to stream with that. I could see myself a Brad Pitt, and I'll never be a Brad Pitt. There is such a thing called faith, foolishness, or presumption. You want to stay in the realm of faith, not foolishness or presumption. But I do see myself as a good man. I see myself as a positive man. I see myself as a creator of good. And that's what I am. Now, there's a scripture I want to talk to you about this morning. Found in, if you have your Bibles, Numbers 13, verse 33, you can pull it up on the screen. As you see yourself, that's so important. Where do you see yourself? And the reason why this is so important, well, how I see others, yes, how I see God, amen. But the most important thing is how you see yourself. You see, most people always see God as a rescuer, because that's what religion has conditioned us to believe. You get in a tight, God will come rescue you. He's the Hopalong Cassidy. He saved you in distress. But we never see ourselves as the rescuer. We see ourselves always looking to God to do it for me, because we've been conditioned to believe we can't. We can't. Now, that's why I tell people in all my schools that we teach, School of Positive Thinking, name one thing God created after he created man. Nothing. He rested. And he's still resting. Last week I rested. Ask me what I do last week. Rested. The biggest effort I put out last week was ask Frances, would she bring me a Coke? Or does she know where I put my last book I'm reading? I'm rested. God's resting. Everything is already set in place for you to prosper. Everything is already set in place for you to achieve. Everything is already set in place for you to have an enjoyable life. Well, why don't I? Because what you're creating. You're creating it. See, God did not create man for himself. God created man as himself. As himself. That's why he said, let us make man in our image, so we can do everything for him. No. Let us create man in our image and then give him the title Elohim, Jehovah Elohim, so he can create his own life now. He can create his own garden. He can create his own paradise. Now, I'm going to help get you started, because every good father always get their children started off right. Amen, good fathers? Yes. So what he said, so I've created this, but I'm going to go ahead and create a Garden of Eden, a paradise, and put you in it, and you take it from there. And dear God, within a week.
Don't give us that much credit.
Man done messed it up. Man done messed it up. How did he mess it up? He listened to another opinion that wasn't God. And all these, you know, I'm going to tell you, one, a father goes, that's okay, son. I'm going to buy you a new car for your birthday. Good, amen. Good, good. Thanks, Dad. Oh, Dad, I love you. Thank. I only got one suggestion. What's that? Don't let nobody drive it. I won't, Dad. I swear to God, I won't. And dear God, within a month time, you letting Lou and Junior and Sally Mae go joyride with it. And you know the rest of this story. They're going to mess it up. Only thing we have to do is just don't eat one tree. Don't eat the fruit from this tree. This is it. I mean, the house, come on. Well, there were two trees in the garden. Who ever told you there were two trees in the garden? There are two trees in the garden named, but that could have been thousands of trees. It wasn't the only fruit tree there. But he had to choose. The nature of man is to choose what he can't have. And that's the one he wanted. That's the one he wanted. That's why people gravitate to being negative. They don't want to be negative. I don't want to be negative. I want to be positive. I want to love myself, but I don't love myself. Why don't I love myself? I don't know. I just can't. Because I created such a quagmire that I don't know what's good and what's not good anymore. So I guess. And yet, whatever you guess, live with it, because that's what's going to manifest in your life. Very simple. Now, in the book of Numbers, chapter 13, I guess we don't have a... that's okay. Trust me, it's there. If it's not in your Bible, let me know and I'll send you my Bible that I'll use out of it. Now, I got so many writings in my Bible, I don't know which is Bible, which is Ralph, because I got so much writings in it. But in Numbers chapter 13, verse 33, in the Amplified Bible, it says, the children of Israel went out, and you know, and it's a metaphor, it's went out to view the land to see if it's like God told them. And I find that interesting, Sister Penny. Let's go make sure this is what God told us it's going to be. So they went out and they came back. But what God didn't tell them was, there's giants in the land. Now I wonder why God left that out. Well, first of all, they should have known, I'm sending you to a land that's not yours. That's got to belong to somebody's. I'm going to give you something, give it to you, and it's still theirs. So the wealth is laid up for the just. So the wealth is not yours now, but it's laid up for you. All you got to do is go get it. So they got there to the land, and they looked and saw the sons of Anak there, which was healthy, Spalding County boys. Played on Griffin varsity football team. They're big guys, man. They big. Strong guys. And it brought such fear in Israel's heart. Now, I don't want to run many rabbits today, but my question, Joe, is why would it bring fear in their heart when they've done been through 40 years, saw a rock falling for 40 years, and quails, they'll feed them every day? What possibly could fear you? When you, all you got to do is look back, Penny, and see everything God done for you. Why should this fear cause you to fear? But it did. It did. It caused them to fear. The sons of Anak. Now notice what they said. We were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Isn't it amazing that the giants didn't think that until Israel did? The enemy don't even know what you are till you remind him what you are. We were grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. Do you know how much better we would be if we would just hush and leave our testimonies to ourselves? Because most of our testimonies is filled with negativism, because we've been conditioned to believe that the God I serve, hallelujah, the God that I'm proud of, the God that I hold up, salute the flag over, is always out there, up there somewhere, looking after me. When the only God going to help you is the God that's in you, the God you are. Now true, God is out there, up there somewhere, God is omnipresent. You can find God in pine trees, you can find him in a cornfield, you can find him in a church, you can find him in a cathedral, you can find him in a warehouse. But the only one going to help you is the God that's in you. The God that you're of. See, that's why I know where you find the Bible that you are from God. It says you're of God. Of the same source. Of the same, what makes God, God made you. You see. So if we think that we're grasshoppers. Now, your trinity of your life, the trinity of your life is thought, thinking, and talking. That is your trinity. Now, Brother Ralph, mine, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Then why do you act like you act then, if you really believe that? Your trinity is your thoughts and the thinking you add to your thoughts, which produces a talking, your talk. Amen, Miss Penny.
Amen.
Amen. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you think you're a failure, you're a failure. If you think you're dumb, you're dumb. If you think I can't, you won't. We even had a little nursery rhyme. I remember when My children was when they were 40-something years ago, when they were, we were raiding them up to train at 30 can. I think I can. And guess what? Even in the nursery rhyme, he made it to the top. Why can't I make it to the top? I can't even follow the law of a nursery rhyme. I think I can. I hope I do. I don't know. And we don't. As a man thinketh. See, now hear me. Elohim, Jane, Elohim, Dick, Elohim, John. Whatever you think you are, you will manifest it in your life. So your Trinity is your thought. And then your thinking you add to your thoughts. And the thinking you add to your thoughts will develop a language in how you talk. And that's how creation began. God didn't create the world by just poofing it in existence. He said. He said. Don't Brother Keith look good? Amen. I got a Sister Connie asked me the other week, Brother Keith want to know if I sent him some notes that I did on the School of Positive Thinking. So I got home and I was honored by that. So I sent him the notes. I sent him, I think, 5 attachments to notes. Called him about 2 hours later to see if he got it. He's printing it off. And the one he's printing off is what I call the School of Positive Thinking notebook. It has 71 pages in it. He said, so I'm having to wait to the printer. I said, my God, Keith, I figured, you know, he'd go through and pick which one. No, the whole thing. And he said something to me that really blessed my heart. And I remember Joe saying this. When they're down in this hospital or whatever they're at, I call it, some people call it a resort. Everybody down here is positive. I said, Keith, let's get this right. Everybody down there got cancer. And everybody down there positive. See if you can get me a room booked up down there. Now, everything is conducive to the environment. You create the environment and then you will manifest what you want to do, your desires. So that's why everybody's getting healed down there. First thing Miss Penny said to me today about some patient down there who has a tumor on the brain, and now he's dancing because now the tumor is shrunk. And he said, I'm going home to cut grass. How many want to make a bet that the grass now is cut? He believed it, he thought it, he had thinking to it, and he had talking to it, and it manifest. Now, to my many friends who love this message when they first start, but then don't realize why it don't automatically kick in, is because you've got to maintain it. It's like going and buying a $58,000 Cadillac, and you want a tank of gas before you leave the showroom, and they give it to you, then you call back the dealership 4 days later and say, this thing won't work. What do you mean it won't work? It won't crank. Well, where's it at? It's on by side of the interstate. Well, dear Lord, they sent a crew out there to pick it up, bring it back to the shop. Then they realized it's out of gas. Somebody didn't maintain it. And they want to blame the leadership, blame the dealership that it ain't working. Piece of junk don't even work. You would think, give $58,000 this car, this thing would work. But no, we're smart enough to know you got to keep gas in it. You got to keep maintenance in it. We must not be that smart because we don't realize we have to maintain ourselves. Maintain our own vessel. And how you do it is track it down, your thought, thinking, and talking. When I get new clients, first thing I want to have a couple of sessions with them because I want to really find out how they're talking. That tells me how they're thinking. That tells me then what thoughts they check off on. Change the way you look at things. Change your thoughts and you'll change your life. Change the way you look at things. Change the way you think about it. How many remember when we dropped that class here? Replacement thinking. How do you replace a thought? I don't like the way the thought make me feel. Then I'm going to change the thought. I was talking to a guy the other day, one of my clients of the week, and I asked him, I said, how have you done? Because I know he really mastered the replacement thinking. He said, every time I have a bad idea, Brother Donnie, every time I think something bad, I think about me dating. And I start smiling until the bad thought vanishes and a new thought comes in. See, thoughts are energy. What do you do if you listen to a bad radio station? Or change stations? In Francis' truck, we got Sirius radio, and on the first three things is 5 for 50s, 6 for 60s, 7 for 70s. I don't even know what's on the thing. I just know the three channels. And all of a sudden, we get a song we don't like. Well, let's just wait till it goes off. No. Well, that's easier done. That's easier said than done. Anything is hard if you ain't disciplined. Getting up in the morning to go to work is hard if you ain't disciplined to do it. You got to discipline yourself. And the reason we don't discipline ourselves is because we don't realize we're the creator of our world. We're the creator of our world. Now, we got down to Florida last Saturday afternoon. It's raining. Sunday morning is raining. So I wanted to take Francis somewhere nice the first day. One of those restaurants where they prepare all the food there before you. Called the Waffle House. And the place, I've never been to a Waffle House where you have to take a number and sit down and wait. The people stand up and get outside. I mean, standing up to get inside. Oh, great. Look forward to this vacation since January. And now here we are here now, raining in Fort Walton at a Waffle House. No. You know what I thought about? I think I want them hash browns smothered and covered. Yeah, that's what I want. Next thing I know, they say, next, Martin. So we got a waitress who does not. It's obvious she's not training or learning well in her station at Waffle House. She don't realize coffee from some people is like every 5 minutes. And the people come in, sit next to her. I had to go get her to ask her, because she bring them coffee. But I made a determination while I was on vacation. Whatever my meal cost is what I'm going to give them as a tip. At a Waffle House. So it came to $21. And I gave a $21 tip. And I had to go get my coffee. But I didn't let that spoil my day. I control my thoughts. And by controlling my thoughts, I control my thinking. By controlling my thinking, I'm determined how I'm going to talk. See, it's called maintenance. It's no magical thing. It's called obeying the laws that governs it. Just obey the laws that governs it. We went to McGuire's one night. Oh, did this test me? $65 bill. Now, we leave a $65 tip. No decision. Well, I ain't got that kind of money. Then I don't go eat. That's why they have light bread for sale, bologna on sale, and mayonnaise. See, it's not a spiritual. It is part of my maintenance for me to maintain what I believe, Brother Terry. Now, it's all come back to how I see myself. Is what I will, in nature is what I will manifest. Now, let me share something with you. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 15 through 16. This is a familiar scripture. Now, I've been in the ministry 40 matter of fact, next Sunday will be my birthday. October the 12th, 1970. I got born again. Or as we say that in South Georgia, I got saved. Again. I got saved. But 44 years. Now, the day I got saved, I knew God called me to preach. And first time I went to church, the day I got saved. So for 44 years, I never really paid much attention to this verse until I started living positively. In Hebrew chapter 11, and I'm a faith guy, I thought I knew all Hebrew chapter 11, but I've always overlooked 15. It says, talking about Israel, once they were delivered from Egypt, putting it evangelically in the south, once I got saved and left the devil, once I got saved and got on my way to heaven, however you want to put it, this is what it says. If Israel had constantly remembered and talked about the country they came from, they would have had many opportunities to return back to it. Ooh. Why do you keep going back? Because you keep remembering it. You keep remembering it, thinking about it, talking about it. And you're going, the Bible says, and you're going to have many opportunities to return back to it. Hebrew chapter 11, verse 15. Well, don't quite say it that way, brother. Where's it going? What version did you read? Read and Amplified. If they had constantly been remembering the countries from which they came out of, opportunity would have presented itself for them to go back to it. Now, if you've got to have a devil, if you just got to have one, then you better understand he's going to do one thing. He's going to constantly put you in remembrance. How it used to be. And you can't get out of that cycle going back to it. Change your thoughts. Change your life. Now, another danger. Talking about maintenance here. As you see yourself. Quit comparing yourself. Quit comparing yourself. Paul wrote this in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number to compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. Oh my God, we could preach camp meeting on that. Quit comparing yourself to someone who commend themselves. Quit comparing yourself to someone who commend themselves. He ends that verse by saying, it's not wise. I got really blessed. I'm blessed every day, but I really was blessed yesterday. On the way home, my grandson, 16 years old, called me from Jacksonville. And he's really been in basketball since he could learn to throw a pencil at his sister. He just said something about hitting her, intrigue him, how he could take a ball and put it in a basket. He's 6'4", play basketball. 6 years ago, when he was 10, I went down there to see him, spend the weekend, week with him, and he was going to try out for a team. I'm sorry, he was 12. I'm sorry, 4 years ago. He went to try out for a team in Jacksonville, in the Senior City League, where 90% of them in there was not the same color he was. So when I walked in the gym and saw there was over 50 kids out there trying out for this one basketball team, and he was the only white one there. Well, let me start getting my condolences. I'm going to not let him get discouraged. Do you know that little fella made starting five? And I said to him later, I said, Austin, I'm proud of you, man. He said, I only focus on one thing. Now, my nickname to my grandchildren, they have always called me Piggy Boy. I only focus one thing on Piggy Boy. I got the ball. That's where I got to take it to. I don't even know what color's around me. I focus. So he called me yesterday morning. He said, Piggy Boy, he said, I've been asking my church to bring a little devotion. And what I want to bring is how to avoid peer pressure. Austin, I'm proud of you, buddy. What'd you say? He said, well, I've been thinking about Pilate. Pontius Pilate. That's right. Who gave in due to peer pressure. everything around him. Absolutely. I said, Austin, I'm so proud of you, man. I'm about to refer David to you, but here you are needing to help me on one. Everybody found Jesus innocent but Pilate. And why didn't he find him? He found him innocent. He just gave in to peer pressure. Because it was not politically correct. That's the whole thing. I'm not promoting Bill O'Reilly's book, Killing Kennedy, but I mean killing Jesus, but a lot of history there. It was politically motivated. Don't compare yourself with each other. Because as you see yourself, so you are. I sent Ashley word. Ashley, how's your foot doing? Doing great? Good. Don't think about the broke foot. Pay no attention. Pay no attention. How did Paul shake off that serpent that bit him when the Bible said, and he paid it no attention? Now that's focused. When a snake hanging on to you and you pay it no attention, that's focused. When my God, we flip out if a garden spider get on. Oh my God, get that. He paid it no attention. He shook it off as though it meant no harm. You know why it didn't mean harm? Because he didn't think about it. He didn't think about it. Energy. We said we're talking about energy beings here. How to maintain. Because whatever you think you are, you are. Down in Florida this week, I had the privilege of reading several of his books. He's been an author brought into my life in the last 5 years. And I think I've read all of his books. His name is Neville Goddard. N-E-V-I-L-L-E, Goddard, G-O-D-D-A-R-D. Interesting book. I even got Buren on one of them. One of those kinds said, you know, it's good, but you can't preach that nowhere. The Awakened Conscience. The Awakened Conscience. When your conscience become awakened to who you are and what God is in you is you. So I'm reading one of his books. Small book, only about 70, 80 pages. And I sat there and I cried. I literally cried. Being from the South, understand how the culture of the South. And Neville wrote this book back in the 50s. In the late 30s and early 40s, he was teaching the Awakened Conscience in New York City, where thousands of people would gather to hear him preach about the Awakened Conscience. And there was an African American there that came every night suspended to hear him talk. The last night, Neville was going to take off 2 weeks and come back, and when he last night he was there before he would take off 2 weeks. This guy's name was Jimmy Fuller. He born and raised down in North Carolina, living up in New Jersey. He came, heard about Neville meeting and came to it. And his conscience was awakened. And he realized, this is only the color of my skin. This ain't me. This is just a pigment of my skin. What I am a consciousness of God in the earth. So him and his wife only had $54. And he used part of that $54 to put their children in a nursery that was open at night. They could find, well, first of all, they could find one easier in New Jersey to keep their children than they could in the South. That was a no-no in the South. So he heard Nelson talk about the awakened conscience. And he said, you know, I've always wanted to sell real estate. A black man in 1945 wants to sell real estate. Remax didn't, he didn't start Remax, folks. That was unheard of. And he told Neville, but what I got to do, I got to quit seeing myself as black And I'll never quit seeing myself as black as long as I adapt to the culture of the race. So I'm going to have to separate myself from my culture, from my beliefs, and believe that I am just a being of God, not black nor white. And he told Neville, said, I only got two nickels to rub together, but I'm believing God in a year from now I'm going to have a quarter. If I rub these two nickels together, I'm going to produce a quarter. So I started a real estate business. I'm not black, I'm not white. I'm just a being that loves God. And he started. One day he got a phone call from this very wealthy guy who understood that a road was being cut through. And And he started his business in North Carolina. That's before Jane Brown come out with a song, I'm Black and I'm Proud. Way before that song came out. One man called him up and asked him, he understood he owned this parcel of land that a state highway was coming through. And of course, he didn't know a state highway coming through it. He said, yes, I own that land. Got to talking, he said, let me ask you a question. Yeah, before I come down there, are you a nigger? He said, well, I like to refer to myself as a human being. That's up to other people's interpretation. And the man said, well, I'm letting you know right now, I ain't going to buy no land from no nigger. He said, I just said, okay, well, if you ever change your mind, it's here. I would not let the racial slurs affect me because I am not my feeling. I control my feelings. My feelings don't control me. Whew. I'm sitting there, I'm reading this, and my God, this is what I've been trying to say at the School of Positive Thinking. You're not your body. You're not your feelings unless you identify it. You only manifest what you think you are. Oh, Jimmy, held to it. I'm a being. I'm a conscious being. 5 years later, they started the highway. Jimmy kept raising the price on it. Finally, the same guy called him, come up to his house, up to his office, where the house, his house, office in his house, and said, I come to buy that land. Jim said, are you the one that called me? Yep. He said, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to let you have it at the price I quoted you back 5 years ago when you called me what you called me. Man said, I don't know what to say. He said, well, you start by saying, thank you, Lord. Then the man started, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. He said, listen, I didn't take it personal. I don't take it personal. I mean, this is worth the admission if you paid in to come here today. Quit taking yourself so serious. Change your thinking about yourself. Because whatever you think you are, you're going to manifest it. And you cannot let things hurt your feelings because that's part of your trinity. Thought, thinking, and talking. Because talking always come from feeling. Feeling always come from thinking. Thinking is always based upon, it started the base with a thought. That's why the Bible says, take no offense. Why would Paul say, take no offense? Because you got to take it. You have to take it. Well, I didn't mean no harm by it. None taken. Someone told me one time, they said, Pastor Ralph, I want to be careful. I want to apologize. If I hurt your feelings, I'm sorry. I said, no, I want to share something with you. We ain't close enough for you to hurt my feelings. The only one I know that can really hurt my feelings is my wife or my children. But we ain't close enough for you to hurt my feelings because I pay it no attention. Because I realize whatever you say to me is just your opinion. Well, I want to get that weight. Well, start practicing today. Call up three people, last three people hurt your feelings, and just say, I want you to know I love you. But I ain't going to tell them they hurt my feelings. Well, this is how you overcome it. Remember, how many wants a gold nugget? Every promise in the Bible is only promised to the overcomer, never to the underachievers. The very word itself defines itself, overcomer. You got to overcome. What? Whatever you got to overcome that you build up bigger than God. The giants. I can't. Then you won't. Listen to this response. Cold, not scripted. Cold. Do you believe you're going to get better?
I'm already better.
Already better. That's even without just practicing that. Ask Joe, when did it dawn on him he gonna get better when he checked in that resort? The moment he checked into it, I'm better. See, everything traced back to your words. Your words. Oh, shoot, I didn't mean nothing by it. Aren't you glad that Jehovah God never took that approach to things? No, buddy. Oh, I'm just joking. I didn't get it. No. He doesn't. But we've learned to pass it off as joking. It's not joking. Jimmy accepted the fact that he was born black. Black. Lived and raised in the Deep South in the late 30s and 40s. But what Jimmy would not accept was the poverty and his culture's views of a black man living in the South. Neville said, the last time I was in New York, which I think was in 60, 61, Jimmy came. By now he's a millionaire. Real estate. See, we're allowing culture, religions, to form our opinions for us. You'd be amazed how many original opinions you've ever had. They probably would be anywhere from 1 to 2. And that could be stretching it on some people. Because we always are what people told us we are, what we thought we were. Or what God, I'm finding that now, not what God told me we was. I remember a lady one time got upset at me and left my church, which was cool, that's no problem. Because I told her one day that her God that she represented had to be a schizophrenic. And for some reason she took offense to that. And so much she asked me, why would you say that? I said, because within any 2 weeks given time, God done changed his mind 3 times to you. God said this, God said that, God said this, God said that. God. Do you know what they do? And now listen, this woman, Marcia, is a retired nurse. I said, now, forget religion, forget church, put it in the medical term. What would happen if you went to your doctor and started telling him this, how you done changed your mind, and said, they would call, what's the medical term for that? I know, schizophrenic. They put you away. That's why I say, most of us don't have original thought. What's God said to you? What's he saying to you? And I don't even want to get rid of my churchianese language. It ain't even what God's saying to me anymore. It's what God's saying to God. What is God saying to God? Now we're going to close with this. Whatever, however you see yourself, assume that you are the very objective of your desire. And then create for yourselves a vocabulary that supports your desire and discipline yourself to only speak words to yourself from your now newfound vocabulary. Why would the Bible says, let the weak say, I need prayer? It doesn't say that. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. But you'll never say it till you form a new vocabulary. You got to form this new vocabulary. You got to go back to school and learn how to talk. They came up with this in World War II. Loose lips sink ships. Well, it's still true today. What sink your gospel ship is your tongue. It still sink ships. Say it again. Yeah. Loose lips sink ships. I'm going to take a trip on the good old gospel ship. I'm leaving this world behind. A little song. The only thing that can sink that good old gospel ship is loose lips. Because you'll find out you ain't leaving the world behind. It's in tow. So start, what is your vocabulary? For as a man thinketh, so is he. Amen. All right. I'm going to leave some notes out here if you want them. But be a Jimmy Fuller. You got to get above your raisings. You got to get above your raisings. I'm in the South and this is where we believe. Well, that might be true. Here's a man that cut himself free from his culture and their collective consciousness of how it should be. And when you create your new conscience of how you desire it to be in God and create a language to back it up and don't give up on it, you will see creation begins and your new world begins. And that, my friend, is how we overcome. Amen. You get anything out of this today morning? Yes. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. Amen. Thank you.
Good morning. It's just glad to be back at Eagles Way Church. Left September the 3rd, and we'll be through with the resort radiation vacation, is what we call it, on October 28th. And Joe Hardwick and John Herbert have gone through this same treatment. And it's like I told Ralph, we're in a cancer treatment institute from all kind of cancers, and it's just a wonderful, positive experience. From the parking lot to therapy. And I'm teaching a Bible study on Tuesday night at the apartment complex, and I'm backdooring the way what Ralph's talking about, the Trinity of Man, is the way people talk. Is they talk in positive about proton therapy and the cancer treatment. So what I'm doing is walking them back through the Bible study, looking at their thoughts and how they think. Let's evaluate the way you're thinking about cancer treatment. How do you apply that to your own life, your wife, your whole life? So it's just a format for exactly what he's talking about. You make a lot of sense. That's what's so good about you. That's good. So if our ushers would be getting ready to receive our tithes and offerings, I know Spencer and Donnie, Ralph, those others that teach and get to talk. We've talked about Malachi 3, about bring the tithes, the whole tithe into the house, and God will open up the windows of heaven and he'll pour out a blessing. And the next verse says it's more than you can receive. And I was telling Billy, Joe, I think Terry and Penny, and Pastor Buren, it says, for in my life, I have really begun to see I've been experiencing God overtaking me by blessings. I mean, how many would say because you give and your attitude toward giving, you're blessed? Yeah, raise your hand. It's like God does so many things when you bring them in, but I have just totally been blessed. The worst, most negative thing, the C word came up in my life in June. And you got to process it. But I had just come through the school of positive thinking, so I had a good attitude. I knew what my best friend had gone through and how well that worked out. Everything that's happened in my life, from financially, friends, every test they run on me physically down there, I see a doctor every week. The tests are all positive. It's like, I mean, it's just positive. And God's not just blessing me, He's just literally overtaking me. I can't outrun Him. God's good. And you don't think I don't enjoy bringing tithes and offerings into the house? Because when we do that, God rebukes that devourer. And our stuff doesn't go bad. So it's just a blessing. So today, as you're prepared, think about that. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You've given us just some very practical things that we do. We just express our stewardship in bringing the first fruits of our income back into the house. And Lord, there's so many things that happen when we do that. Lord, we bring them cheerfully. Lord, we present them to You with great thanksgiving for Your many blessings, but we know that it puts food in the house. Lord, our lives are just enriched by that, and we're just literally overtaken by Your blessings. And I just pray that today, as every person reaches into their coffers and brings out their tithes and their offerings, that Lord, You just not only bless them, but overtake them with Your blessings. Lord, we love You. Thank You for being so faithful to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand and worship one more time.
Make sure you guys check out your bulletins. There's a lot of things coming up. It's the holiday season. October 29th, we're doing a trunk or treat for the kids. And then, of course, we have the angel tree coming up. So if you can't do one as a family, grab a couple of families, grab a couple of kids. Make sure you guys do that. And when you get your emails, open them from the church. There's all kinds of great information in there for you.
Sorrow and the dancing.